Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Kasama natin muli sa programa, actor, singer, a rockstar on his own right. Mig Ayesa, welcome again to the program, Mig.
Thank you very much, Ellen. How are you?
Okay, so you are here in Sydney for some family events, special events.
That's right.
And also some very special events with the community, the White Christmas Carols with Mig Ayesa.
Very, very special occasion. A fundraiser for NARA to raise money to go towards a Filipino-Australian community center. So it's a great cause. It's going to be a great concert. Got a lineup of six other singers from the Filipino-Australian community.
For those who don't really know Mig Ayesa, he was here on the program last Thursday, and now he's here again.
Who is this guy?
Yeah. For those who don't know you, you are born in the Philippines and raised here in Sydney.
Yes.
A well-known actor in the Filipino-Australian community, even in Australia, because you were part of the competition for the In Excess.
That's correct. That's correct. I did.
Tell us about that.
Well, it was way back in 2005. The Australian super band In Excess, of course, they were looking for a new lead singer to replace Michael Hutchence. You know, they've had several people. John Stevens, for example, did an incredible job, but they wanted someone a bit more permanent. So they created this TV show called Rockstar In Excess, and they auditioned everyone from around the world. There were auditions in London, there were auditions in the United States, in Australia, in New Zealand, and they brought final 15 to this mansion in the Hollywood Hills in Los Angeles, and we were all fighting it out every week to become the new lead singer of In Excess.
Yeah.
So I was in London at the time. I was doing a Queen musical called We Will Rock You in London at the time, but when I heard about this competition to be the new lead singer of In Excess, me being a Sydney boy and being a huge In Excess fan, I said, I have to be a part of this. So We Will Rock You were able to let me go out of my contract, and I joined this competition, and I came third. So I made it right to the final. Unfortunately, I lost to a Canadian. So J.D. Fortune became the new lead singer of In Excess. But I was able to I won a car. I got a green card. I got signed to Decca Universal Records. So,
Not a loss at all.
Not a loss. Since then, I've been able to continue that momentum at least for a while. And, you know, I moved to New York and did some shows on Broadway. I've been working around the world ever since, going back to London for several times, come back to Australia, did some work in the Philippines. So I guess I can say I'm very blessed with the opportunities that have been presented to me because of the show, for the show, and around the show.
But prior to that, you've been doing music since your childhood, I think.
Yeah, I've been doing it
1990s?
For a while. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm showing my age, but yeah, you know, I've been doing music all my life. I fell in love with music when I was a child. I had a bad stutter, but whenever I would sing a song, my stutter would disappear. So that's for me, that was the drug. That was my in for music, because I felt like a normal person. I didn't have to stutter.
So is the stuttering gone?
Yeah, the stuttering. Now I'm stuttering now because I'm nervous. No, the stuttering is gone now. So I within a couple of years of me doing music was my therapy. And it really taught me how to structure my sentences so that I would not be running over myself when I would speak.
But is there anyone in the family who sings, really?
I got to say, my dad has got a good voice. Yeah, he's got a good voice. He never took it professionally.
Yeah.
But I remember my brother has a great voice too, actually. He's really got a good voice. And when we were growing up, we were singing to my dad, and my dad told my brother, he said, Andrew, you've got a really good voice. And I told him, hey, Dad, do I have a good voice? And he says, yeah, it's good. Not as good as your brother's, but it's okay. So I'm like, I was devastated, absolutely floored. So I thought, no one's going to make me second best. And so I would practice a lot and learned how to sing. And, you know, and lo and behold, it became my focus. So, take that, Andrew. Ha ha.
So you started very young in music, but you also did theater shows, isn't it? Even television shows.
Yeah.
Does it come that because you do music, that's why you did theater?
Yeah, it was kind of a thing that just I fell into by accident, really. I had done some theater productions at school, You know, I went to St. Patrick's College in Strathfield, and we would always team up with the, you know, either Santa Sabina, the girls' Catholic school, or Strathfield Girls, and we would do the musicals every year. And I fell in love with that. It was really fun, but nothing I would take seriously. But it was when I was doing auditions while I was at university. I was just trying to get some extra work, you know, doing some extra work or commercials, trying to earn some money while I was at university. And my agent then suggested I'd audition for this show called Buddy, the Buddy Holly story. And basically all I had to do was I'd turn up for the audition and sang La Bamba in Spanish.
Yeah.
And because I'd already been in bands in school, for me it was just singing a rock and roll gig. So I just went there and sang La Bamba, thinking that's all I had to do. Next thing you know, I get the gig. And we open in Sydney. The producers of the London show were at the opening of the Sydney show.
Watching.
And they said, Mig, would you like to join the London cast and do it in London? I said, yeah. So at 21, I was 21 years old and was flown to London and joined the London cast. And I happened to be there at the time when we did a Royal Variety performance for the Queen and Prince Philip. And we also performed for Princess Diana and the two young princes.
Wow, yeah.
And so from that point, when I came back to Australia, everyone thought that, oh, he must be a musical theatre cat because he's done all this stuff in London's West End. I was like, seriously, I'm no training whatsoever. I'm making up as I go along. I got the next job I did, I replaced Guy Pearce, who was playing Danny Zuko in a production of Grease. So I played that, you know, and next thing you know, went for another show. And I was learning on the job. I was really making it up as I was going along. And I loved it. I fell in love with musical theatre. And I thought in this industry where there is no consistency, at least doing a theatre role contract, means you have some kind of stability in being creative and you get a pay packet every week. You know what you're doing, you know, 8 shows a week, you know, there's some regularity. And I fell in love with that. So I'd love to do some more.
So for you, experience really helped you well.
Yeah, well, you know, it's experiences go along and you learn. I was like a sponge. Like I was working with some of the most amazing talent I've ever, you know, worked with. The cream of Australian musical theatre talent. And I would just watch them and see how they did things. And I learned how to do things. I learned how not to do things. It was trial by error, really. and from that, hopefully I was able to create some kind of method or some technique that kept me going throughout the years.
So you've been to places, Australia, UK, US, Asia, where else?
My gosh, well, Scandinavia, Europe, we've been working. I haven't done any gigs in Antarctica yet. So if there is a Penguin musical coming up, then I mean, they do Happy Feet, the musical.
Yeah.
And we open in Antarctica, then I'm going to go for that. But apart from that, I'm pretty much done all around the world, which is a blessing. I love traveling, and traveling around the world is probably one of the greatest things you can do in life.
Yeah. Many of your shows also feature the songs of Michael Jackson, Air Supply, even Prince.
Yeah.
But which one is your favorite?
Wow. Good question. It seems to be, I think, whatever project I'm working on at the time is my new focus and is my new passion, because you really have to invest 100% into the project you're working on. And so whenever I was working on something, it was all that. It was nothing else. So when I was working on All Out of Love, the Air Supply musical last year, it was all about Air Supply. You know, that's all I was listening to nonstop. And I fell in love with the music again, the voices and the mastery of the songwriting. One show that has always resonated with me is the We Will Rock You. Mm-hmm. When I did that in London, the association with the band Queen was really an amazing, amazing thing. I love Queen. I hear some people in the studio going, I love Queen too. Yeah, there's a little guy in the back going, Queen, yeah.
He loves We Will Rock You.
I love We Will Rock You. And the greatest thing about working in London with the show is that Brian May and Roger Taylor from Queen were closely involved with the production, with the casting, with the production, with the development of the show. And they have been continual support for me and continual contacts, you know, and they're, I've done the three productions of the show, and whenever I do the show, they're always in touch, and they just make sure that everything's fine and
doing the right thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd be like, for example, I'd be in London, my dressing room, and Brian May would come to the sit in my dressing room just before the show and just talk and doodle and just hang out with me. And
yeah.
I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. He's my idol. Both of them. Roger Taylor is probably one of the most amazing drummers in the history of rock music, and Brian May is definitely one of the greatest guitarists of all time, and the songs that they've written, you know, and the things that they've done are absolutely legendary. And so to have that association with Queen for me has been the greatest gift I've ever had, I think, because it's just, I don't know, it's a very small club who have that association. Yeah. And I feel I'm very blessed to have that.
And these big names in the music industry has inspired you to really keep on going.
They have. I mean, the fact that people are still working and being creative and being rocking out, and they're well into their 70s. I think, well, I have no complaints. You know, there should be no excuses for me to think, I'm too old to do this or it's too hard to do this. You know, I see what they do and they're continually progressing, continually doing, being active. You know, it inspires me. It really does inspire me.
They said in every undertakings that you do, there is always challenge.
Yes.
What's the hardest challenge for you so far?
Wow. The hardest challenge for me was...
Is it touring? Because you'll be into this place today and then you'll be on the next one.
Yeah, that is difficult. I mean, that is one thing, especially when you're traveling long haul flights. Mm. You do have to take care of yourself because all those hours in air conditioning and confined spaces wreaks havoc on your voice. So that is a challenge. And having to get off the plane and do a concert, it's kind of, you have to make sure that your voice is in good nick. Otherwise, yeah, you know, you would fail or you'd lose your voice. But I find, for me, the biggest challenge has happened between the gigs, not at the gigs. It's between the gigs. How do you keep yourself relevant? How do you keep yourself, your head above water between jobs? You know, because there will be times in an artist's life where you'll be unemployed. And how do you create that? How do you make yourself fluid?
What do you do during those times?
I am hugely into photography and videography, and I work as a photographer as well in New York.
Wow!
And
you never stop.
I take headshots and do video production for actors and for their headshots and for their show reels, as well as I do work for people's websites. And I love that. But I love being creative, you know, and I do some drone photography too, which is really lots of fun. So I'm hugely into that. My grandfather was the president of the Camera Club of the Philippines for 50 years.
Wow.
So it's definitely in my DNA. You know, I do love photography. That's a huge thing. And also, you know, I'm working with a company called Song Division. They're a company that's stemmed out of Australia and now are global. And we do rock and roll team building for companies and conferences. Mm. Anything that unites people through music to their purpose is what Song Division does. So I've just started working with them. So keeping myself busy all the time, I think that's the hardest thing. Because if you keep yourself busy, you get the ball rolling. The minute you stop is when you stop and you become a moss grows on fat on a rolling stone, right?
Maybe that's why you don't age.
I'm surprised. I feel very old today, I gotta say.
It doesn't show.
Bless you. Well, I have a good face for radio, they say.
Because it's radio.
Yeah.
We can say that you are one of the very successful Filipino-Australian in terms of music, because you've been to places, you name it, and you've done shows in Australia, Asia, US, UK. But what does it take to be successful, really? First, let's define success. What is success for me?
Good question. For me, to be successful is doing something you love to do and feeling that you are happy doing nothing else but what you are doing. So if you can do what you love to do and can survive from that, then that is the epitome of success. Mm. I think you can't do any better than that. And so I feel very blessed that I've had that opportunity and have been able to come to the point where I feel I love what I do. And every day is a new challenge. Every day is totally different from the previous day. There's not much stability in what I do, but yeah. there is 100% variety. So I love that aspect of my job, that you never know what the day will bring. And it's up to you how hard you want to work and bring, you know, the next job towards yourself. What it takes, I think in this industry, you have to become really resilient and grow a thick skin and not take things personally. Because when you present yourself for auditions, it's very hard not to say, this is who I am. And any type of rejection you'd feel, that means I'm no good, or they don't like me.
It
can put you down. But it's absolutely because maybe you're just not the right person for the job, because they're looking for a different look, looking for someone taller, looking for someone bigger, someone older, someone younger.
Someone darker,
someone lighter. It's all that. You don't know what the reasons are. You have to just do the audition and let it go. And if you get the job, then great. If you don't, well, then there's always another audition coming up.
Move on to the next.
But you always have to have this thing of that you are an individual, and you have a unique gift, and everyone has a unique presence. And there will always be a time when that presence is needed. It may not be for one job, but maybe for the next job. And there's nobody else that can do that except for you. So if you have that belief that you're unique and that you have that innate ability to be you and have faith in what you do, then that will really propel you forward and stop you feeling, rejected, you know, and take things personally. Because, that could be a really horrible thing to, as an actor, to lose your confidence. And it's very hard to do. But if you can have that self-resilience, then I think you will be very powerful in the future.
They always say that, tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. Is it relevant for you?
I think that's a really good comment. I've not heard that comment before, but it's very wise words. I think so. I think, birds of a feather flock together, they say, right?
Yeah.
So you want to surround yourselves with like people. And I consider my friends to be, I love them dearly. And so they're my family, living in New York, I'm away from family, yet I surround myself with good people and good friends. And whenever we hang out, I feel like a sense of family.
Yeah.
And I love them dearly. I mean, that's why the show Friends, it actually resonates so true, because people from New York, this usually, apart from their family, very rarely do you have native New Yorkers living in New York, right? So to have that community of friends, I think, really is a significant community and very powerful force in your life. So I can say that I love my friends, and if that's indication, then if they say that they judge me by my friends, then I'm awesome.
Yeah, it means you've got awesome friends.
That's right, I do.
For a touring artist and performer like you, you will always go back home. Where is home for you?
Yeah.
There's so much home for you.
There is. This is where I feel blessed again, because when I come back to Australia, I feel home is really here in Australia. This is where a place where I really grew up mostly.
Yeah.
And the place that I, went to school, and my high school friends are here, my primary school friends are here, my family's here. I consider myself more Australian than anything else.
Yeah.
Having said that, whenever I go to the Philippines, I've got all my cousins there, and I'm back in the swing of things, and I love the Philippine culture.
I'm Pinoy.
Kababayan kasi naman eh. And proud, very proud. And I love being in the Philippines, and I'm very proud of Filipinos and, what they do around the world, and the warmth and the talent that they have around the world. It shines through, really does.
So how do you introduce yourself, if you have to introduce yourself? Like, I'm Miga Yesa, Australian, Filipino, what?
Yeah, I'm Miga Yesa, citizen of the global village.
Wow.
International man of mystery.
Awesome.
But I do. I would, but if you have to press me for an answer, I would definitely say Phil Aussie, because you can't forget your roots, and you can only look forward by looking back.
Definitely. If you have to look back to your 15-year-old self, what would you say to him?
I would say study more. What do you I would also say, relax a little bit. I was such a serious boy. I was so serious growing up, and I feel that maybe a lot of my youth was misspent with being so serious. I kind of had my childhood later on. In my 20s is when I really let my hair down. And I was thinking, probably if I let my hair down when I was younger, that would probably be better. I would have been probably a calmer adult and get all those nitty-gritty knots and bolts out of my system before I got a chance to be something, serious. And also I would have told myself to really make sure that I studied hard for my NIDA audition. Yeah. I did well, but I could have done better. Anyway, put it that way.
But look at you now.
Hey, I'm here talking to you. Yeah. I mean, I'm
entering the world.
100% satisfied.
Yeah. 2020 is your third decade in the music industry. We will not reveal your age. No. Don't worry. But where are you heading to?
Wow. Good question. I take things basically as they come. I have some plans for next year. The thing is, we don't know if they will come to fruition. I have a very exciting news that would, if it comes through, I will let you know.
Please.
It'll happen in the last part of next year. And if it doesn't happen, I didn't tell you. Nothing happened, right?
Yeah.
So I'm in the clear. So, but that's a big plan. And I will promise to come back and talk to you if it happens. But the first part of next year, I've got some gigs lined up. Back to New York. I'm working hard with my song division company. And I'm writing some songs. I'm working on a new album. Doing some photography. I've got a couple of cruises lined up. And I'm also working. Oh, also, I'm one of the creators of this new music festival in New York. It's called the Aussie Music Festival NYC.
Oh.
And basically, what it is, every month we have four different Australian singer-songwriters living in New York City.
That's awesome.
That come and perform their original material, either acoustically or with a small band, in venues around New York City. And the criteria is that of their four songs or five songs that they will play that night, one has to be an Australian cover done in their own style.
So there will be an audition for it?
Not really an audition. You apply online and we'll just pick submissions.
So maybe for our listeners?
Yes. Well, have a look at our website. www.aussiemusicfestivalnyc.com. And we're also on Facebook. And you can, if you're coming to New York and you want to do, if you want to showcase your songwriting and actually do a New York gig, it's for visiting Australian artists as well. If you want to come and showcase your material and do a gig live at a venue in New York City, then come along. It's a chance for you to play at some really cool venues around New York. And maybe you might be discovered or get a chance to network and show your wares and might bring you back and maybe you can stay in New York for a bit longer. So it's just purely a fun thing. We're involved with a couple of Australian companies who are getting involved as well. But that's something that's going to take a bit of dedicated time.
So for those Aussies who really want to play their music in NYC, that's a great opportunity.
Absolutely. Come and play along in Big Apple.
Yep. Lastly, Mig, what are three life lessons that you would want to share to younger generations of musicians or performers?
Wow, three life lessons. Okay, one is be prepared. There is nothing that can arm you better or make you feel more secure than make sure that you study your craft, you work hard at getting yourself being the best you can be, always improving. Right. So that's that thing. If you work on your craft, if you are feeling that you are whatever you're doing it to the best of your ability, then that will really bring you forward so much. And it will increase your confidence. And of course, it will impress people. But the point of where you can be lazy and sit back and say, it's enough. That'll do. That's never enough. That's not good enough.
There's always something
to learn. I'm learning something new all the time. And I love that. Every gig I do, every person I meet, every time I do something, I'm always learning better ways of doing things. And it makes me go, I wish I'd learned this years ago. But you can't do that. Life teaches you these lessons. Two is, I guess, don't listen to other people. You know, everyone will tell you it's too hard.
Do that.
Get a real job.
Yeah.
You know, don't. Who do you think you are? Kind of vibe. The only person who has real great care of your career is you. You're the only one who really cares about your career. So if
you
really want to do
it, isn't it?
Exactly. So if you really want to do it, there's nobody else that will make you do it except for you. So whatever excuses there are, people will tell you maybe give it up or try something different. If you have a belief in what you want to do, then do it, because no one else will let you. Yeah, so that's it. And number three is just make sure that make sure you have a life.
Yeah.
Life isn't all about work. Life is all about, you know, it's also stop and smell the roses, enjoy family, you know, enjoy friends, enjoy where you're around, experience the world around you. Go out for a jog, go and smell the flowers. And it may sound poetic, but it's so true. The people are so focused in doing stuff, they forget to actually, why are we here in the first place?
Savor the moment.
Live in the now. It's such a powerful message to do that. If you don't do that, life will go on and you've missed the boat. Yeah, it's happening. Your happiness begins now. Life is now.
Thank you so much, Mig Ayesa, and we look forward to seeing you in 2020.
I look forward to it too. Thank you very much. Maraming salamat.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.